you know that every word you speak matters? Are your conversations making a difference? With a passion for words and a heart for conversation, Teresa Velarde is a self-professed word nerd, best-selling author, BizCat 360 columnist, and publisher. Children's books as well as fiction and nonfiction books are welcomed at WeBe Books Publishing and Book Endeavors, the imprints of her company, Authentic Endeavors Publishing. Whether written or spoken, Teresa strives to encourage and inspire meaningful conversations that make a difference. Here's the host of Conversations That Make a Difference, Teresa Velarde.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of Conversations That Make a Difference. I am Teresa Velarde, and I'm here with Alicia Lyons, who we will introduce in just a moment. But as we get started, I just want to remind everybody that you can watch Conversations That Make a Difference live on the first and third Tuesday of every month. And replays are available for you every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. You can find Dream Vision 7 Network on your online, on your mobile devices, in cars, on YouTube, and by asking Alexa to play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. So we hope that you will join us on your off time and take in some of the great shows that are on Dream Vision 7. And so we start our show every week with the gratitude prayer and serenity prayer and some information about gratitude and being fabulous. So let's do that first, okay? So let's start with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And today we are grateful to be fabulous, blessed, and highly favored while living in our greatness, using our God-given talents with passion and purpose, and we're making a difference in the lives of others, and all of God's great universe is conspiring in our favor. And it is with great gratitude that we say amen. So let me introduce you to my guest, Alicia Lyons, who is the author of Good Mom Rules, and this is new out today, and you can get it on Amazon. Alicia is a master neurotransformation results coach, the co-director of Raising Enlightened Children, an author, and a podcast host. She's passionate about helping moms become the CEOs of their homes and their lives, guiding them to find more joy from the inside out. As a proud mother of a son who has been the course corrector for her own life, I love that statement because I think mine was a course corrector for me too. She now leads the parents she serves and works with through long-lasting neurological shifts to help ease their guilt and increase their emotional peace to find their happy. Her new book, as I just said, Good Mom Rules, Ditch Mom Guilt, and Find Your Happy is now available on Amazon.com. And if you're on YouTube right now and you have questions for Alicia, we will gladly take them live. And the link to buy the book is actually on YouTube at the moment. So welcome, Alicia.
Thanks so much, Teresa.
Good to have you here. How excited are you about this book?
I'm very excited. It's kind of a re-release. I released it in 2020 with a different title and different energy. And, you know, it's I've added double the words to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's powerful, and guilt is something that we carry around with us, and it's something that doesn't serve us. And, that's why ditch your mom guilt and find your happy.
Yeah. And what I love about this is that you identify guilt in a way that I have never heard anybody identify it before. It's not just, oh my God, this is something that stuck with me for a long time. It's not just like me saying, oh my goodness, I made my kid rewrite those letters over and over again so that he could have good penmanship until I actually erased and tore the sheet. How crazy is that? Because my father was such a nerd when it came to penmanship. I thought my son should have excellent penmanship the way that I did. And that's not always the case. So I would do things like that, that I still, when I think about some of the things that I've done as a mom raising him, and he's an adult now, I think about stuff like that. And why did I do that? But you approach guilt from a completely different standpoint. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, and even from that standpoint, you know, it's never too late to apologize. Apologies go a long way. And is there anything that I can do to help you? Like, is there anything that I can do to repair what I did? Like, yeah. Is there anything that you need from me that I can help?
Yeah. And that's an interesting thing to do. You know, when my parents would say, "Do as I say, not as I do." Oh, how many of us heard that growing up? Raise your hand, right?
Exactly. And that's the cool, but that's not how it works though, because they're watching the show. They're not listening to the lecture. And it's really in our micro movements that they like, has anybody ever said to you like, "Oh, you just made a face like so-and-so," you know, did that person sit you down and say, "Okay, Teresa, make this face like me. See this face? Like you make it." No, they just made the face and you imitated the face. It's completely unconscious.
Yeah.
So the way that we, you know, raise children to be the people that we want them in the world is to become them first, to become that person and just be that person. And they'll see what we do and they'll do what we do.
Yeah. And sometimes doing what we do is not necessarily the best thing for them to see what we are doing, right? So
exactly. There's that too.
That's where we get a chance to apologize later in life, right?
and it, you know, it's conscious parenting, you know, and looking at what you're doing, looking at how you parented or were parented rather. And then, you know, what is it that I want my children to learn from me? And work on embodying that for yourself.
Yeah. And that's, you know, to look back at what I did as a parent, or what any woman, or even what any man did as a parent. You know, we have, I'm sure nobody gets through this without mistakes. Kids don't come with an owner's manual, right? So we have to make it up as we go along and do the best we can with what we know and with what we read and with what we learn. And that's why I'm so glad you have this, because people will learn so much, especially the mom guilt. And we are talking specifically to moms here, because we tend to put ourselves at the bottom of the pile when it comes to all this stuff that we're talking about. So let's talk about what you consider to be guilt.
Yeah. So, you know, basically guilt is created when we have an idea of what a good person does. Mm-hmm. So if a good person doesn't steal, then we can only be a good person if we don't steal.
Right.
But if we do steal, the way to maintain that we're a good person is to punish ourselves. Mm. And that punishment is guilt. So like everything that we do is in some way, shape or form to maintain I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. So we have to, those rules are so unconscious that we're not aware of them until you hear something like this. And then you go in search of like, what are the rules of what makes a good person? Mm-hmm. And then we have different roles. We have different hats that we wear. So being a good mom is a role, being a good employee, being a good daughter, a good sister. Like we have roles mm-hmm. and rules for all of those roles. And so when we break the rules that we may not even know that we have, it's like driving in a speed limit, you know, in an area where the speed limit goes from 65 miles an hour to 55, and you don't know because you looked down when the sign was there, or you were distracted by, this is a true story. I found out I was having a boy and I got distracted from the road going from 65 to 55, and I was on cruise control. And so I broke the rule that I didn't even know was there until I got pulled over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he let you go because you just found out you were having a baby boy?
He did not.
They have rules too, I guess, right?
They do. I actually got 3 tickets while I was pregnant with my son. I was like, can this stop, please?
Too funny. That's funny. Yeah. Not funny, but I mean, looking back, I'm guessing
it's
that
funny looking back. Funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking not back. Funny in the moment.
Not funny. So you did a really good job of laying this out, the word guilt, right? G-U-I-L-T as an acronym. And so the first letter G stands for generosity. General. Explain to our readers what that looks like in some of the ways that you have outlined in the book. How does generosity come into guilt or alleviating guilt?
So you're really testing my knowledge of my own content, but
no, I've read it a few times too, so I got right. it.
So one thing is that you need to be generous with yourself. And so being generous with yourself also means being compassionate with yourself. Mm-hmm. We punish ourselves as moms for years for things that we wouldn't, you know, even for a moment discipline our children for. Mm-hmm. I was looking for the other word besides punish, because we try, I don't think we try to punish our children. But boy, do we punish ourselves, right?
Yeah, exactly. We do. We definitely do. And you say one thing that you say in here that is written in bold print, okay? So we may have thought that self-care is selfish. Can you turn that around for us, please?
Well, self-care is selfish. But what's wrong with being selfish? You know, so there's how I'll turn it around. I actually posted that on Facebook a couple months ago, and someone basically was quoting scripture that, you know, to die to yourself. And, you know, I think it's misinterpreted, because we have to take care of ourselves and other in order to take care of others. Like, it's absolutely mandatory. It's in everything, you know, put your mask on first. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all heard that as an analogy. And the thing that I love is to give from the overflow. Yes. Because if you have a vase that's half empty and you're continuing to pour the vase, then eventually what comes out of the vase, if you continue to pour, is emptiness. And what does that look like? It looks like yelling. It looks like snapping. It looks like, you know, it looks like anger, yeah. Right? But if you were to continue to pour self-love into yourself, taking care of yourself, because we take care of the things that we love. So if we really love ourselves and we continue to pour love into ourselves, mm-hmm. then what's going to come out? If you have a vase on the counter and you fill it with water and you don't stop filling it, what happens to the water, or what happens to the vase?
It overflows.
Water overflows. And if that water that's going into it is love, then you're going to overflow with love, and you're going to be giving from the overflow. Mm-hmm. So you never get empty, and you're never giving emptiness.
Right. Great analogy. And it is okay to be selfish and take time for yourselves, you know, throughout the day, the week, whatever. I can't tell you, I've been saying to my son's girlfriend, let's go for mani-pedi. She calls me, when are we going for mani-pedi? Oh, I'm so busy. I'm blah, blah, blah. Well, hello. Make room for me, right?
Yeah.
Make room for me, just because I want to, not because for any other reason. But anyway, so generosity, be generous with your love and be generous with your time. Given what I just said, what do you suggest to women like me who seem to have everybody else's time more important than ours. What do you suggest is one thing that women can do in order to be able to give themselves the gift of a little bit of self time for themselves to take, be a little selfish and do that self-care?
I suggest you be a lot selfish, but one thing that you can do is take a look at your to-do list. And I guarantee you there are some things on there that don't need to get done. There's some things that could be done by somebody else. And so go through your to-do list and start deleting and delegating. Because if you're deleting and delegating, that's going to free up your time. Then add in that time for, you know, for stuff to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a gentle way of doing it because you don't want to go to your partner and be like, you know what? I'm not doing any of this stuff anymore. You take care of it. That's going to go over as well, about as well as you'd expect. Right? But you could take your list and say, you know what, honey, I'm trying to take care of myself a little bit more. Here's a list of things that I would love to get off of my plate. Is there anything that you might be willing to take? And if your children are of appropriate age, the same thing. And if it's something that nobody wants to do, maybe it could be rotated. You know, it just because it needs to get done doesn't mean it needs to get done by you.
There you go.
And take and ask for the support and basically ask for the support that you need.
Mm-hmm. And that's difficult for some people. You know, I mean, I know someone who came from a home that their mom was home all the time, and all she did was clean the house, cook the food, make sure everybody had what they needed. And we never saw time for her taking time for herself. And so when somebody else had something to do, oh, I'll do it. And constantly taking on more to where there was like, you got to come to a breaking point with a life like that, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that creates a lot of overwhelm and stress and, you know, if you can't do it for yourself, then do it for your children, because that woman's children learned one of two things. If it was a male child, they learned this is what women do all by themselves. Mm-hmm. And if it was a female child, they learned this is what women do all by themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if you can't do it for yourself, like I'm going to take care of myself because I deserve it, start with I'm going to take care of myself because my kids deserve it.
Yeah.
Because eventually you'll catch up and you'll start to see, oh yeah, I do deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great turnaround. Mm-hmm. The next one, the GU. What's the U?
Understanding.
Explain, Lucy.
So I believe that that our children choose us as their mothers on a spiritual soul level. Mm-hmm. They choose the mother that they need to learn the lessons that they needed to learn inside this body. Well, during this time on this planet. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those lessons come in the form of our mistakes. Mm-hmm. And when you understand from that higher perspective, then you can forgive yourself for the mistakes that you make, mm-hmm. because it's part of their learning.
Mm-hmm. And yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ours. It's a two-way street. They choose us, we choose them. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So you have to understand your child's choice. And I'm going to say that what you just said falls under that category, understand your child's choice, right? And then understand that each child is different.
Yeah.
So the statement, what should be more like your sister, has no validity in this conversation.
You know, that's a damn very damaging statement, even, you know, because that's that kind of, whether it's said directly or implied, that child is always going to feel like they can't live up to their parents' expectations. And then they start to feel like the black sheep of their family. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to understand who your child is and treat them respectively. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was the only girl in a family of boys, and my dad treated us all the same. And it was like, I really wasn't interested in watching sports with him. And that was the thing that he did for bonding. And it's like, well, I guess if I want to bond with my dad, I need to sit and watch sports with him. Mm-hmm. You know, and that just, it doesn't, like, what I would have liked as a daughter was some one-on-one time with my dad where he and I were doing something we both enjoyed. Mm-hmm. That would have felt a lot better to me than sitting there staring at the TV, like, I really don't care about that baseball at all. It's worse than watching paint dry, as far as I'm concerned. But a lot of girls will just, like, you know, in that specific situation, they'll just say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to be a baseball fan now. And I guess I was a little more stubborn than that.
Yeah. Well, my dad was the world's biggest Yankee fan. And my sister and my brother-in-law, who were just here visiting for the weekend, they are massive Yankee fans. Matter of fact, they were up at the Baseball Hall of Fame before they came to visit me. But that's, you know, that was something that I grew up with. And I could choose whether or not to watch the Yankees or the Mets. If I brought the Mets game into the house, I got literally, I'll never forget this. I got thrown out of the house. He invited me for dinner and said, go. I was pregnant with my son. I was just, so it was getting for the World Series. I was about to give birth. And he says, turn the game on. I turned the Met game. It was in 86. And the Mets game, the Mets were winning and the Yankees were doing really poorly that year for whatever reason. And so I turned the Met game on. And he comes in the living room and says, who put this on? I said, I did. And he said, get out. And don't come back until you come to your senses. They invited me for dinner. My parents invited me for dinner. My father threw me out. It was hysterical. We laugh about it. We laughed about it a lot late after that. But, you know, it was, if you weren't a Yankee fan, you weren't allowed in his house. So I get that part.
Right. I don't think we're allowed to be friends, though, because my dad was a Dodger fan. So.
Okay. Well.
And we're done.
And we're done. That's it. Baseball, move on. We could still be friends.
Okay, good.
Understand you have good and bad days, right?
Yeah. I mean, it all, like, in reality, we're all human. And so I think that as moms, that we have this anticipation or expectation that we are perfect. And that perfection is probably the biggest creation of guilt. Yeah. And I mean, even yesterday, I'm pretty good at keeping my bad moods to myself for the most part. And I'm trying this new thing where I'm just honest about my feelings and who I am to show my son that having emotions is normal and it's okay, and to give him the opportunity to hold space for mom when she's angry. And my son is still very much in the everything's about me phase of life. And so he thought I was angry at him. And it was the most interesting interaction I've had with him in a long time.
Well, let's just, like, just a second. Hold the thought, because we have to go to a break And we're going to just, it's only going to be a couple minutes and then we're going to come right back. And I want to hear what happened because I've gone through this whole thing. And sometimes they still think at the age that he is, he thinks the world revolves around him and there's no stopping it. So I want to hear what happened. We'll be right back with Alicia Lyons.
With the hustle and bustle of today's world, how often do you take time to practice gratitude? More importantly, how can you make it a habit? The Grateful Hearts community is a group of like-minded people focusing on what's going right and being grateful. Gratitude is more than putting a smile on your face and being thankful for the roof over your head. It's about expanding your perception and finding ways to find gratitude for, in, and through the challenges we face every day. Gratitude is a feeling of connection to things higher than yourself, to God, and to others. We focus on light, positivity, and connections. You make a difference. When we join our grateful hearts together, the power of community attracts more people and even more to be grateful for. Expressing gratitude and feeling grateful is infectious, so let's share it. Join our Grateful Hearts community and watch your blessings blossom. Learn more at gratefulheartscommunity.com and join the community at facebook.com/thegratefulheartscommunity.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Did you know that every word you speak matters? What you say and how you say it can make or break a relationship or shift the outcome of any situation. Are your conversations making a difference? Faith in God, gratitude, authenticity, and giving are Teresa Velarde's heart. It's in this spirit that she's focused on making a difference in the lives she's blessed to touch. Conversations That Make a Difference is now on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
This is Dream Vision 7 radio network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back with Alicia Lyons, and we're talking about her book, Good Mom Rules, Ditch Mom Guilt, and Find Your Happy. So we were talking about guilt as an acronym, and we got to understanding good days and bad days. And you were about to talk about what happened yesterday with your son, and it's okay for mommy to be angry.
Yeah. So, you know, he really, what I was feeling yesterday was, a little like I wanted to feel lazy. And, you know, I'm doing a lot right now. I'm traveling to Los Angeles from, which is about a 3.5 to 4 hour drive with traffic, from where I live. I'm gone a couple of days a week. And I'm tired. And sometimes I just want to sit and do nothing. And, you know, one of my favorite songs is called The Lazy Song. And today I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to lay in my bed. And so I put the song on. I told Xander, this is how I feel. And I put the song on and he goes, Mom, you're letting a song rule your life. And I was like, I literally just got out of my bad mood by playing this song, and that statement put me right back into that bad mood. And I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I knew that nothing that was about to come out of my mouth was going to foster the type of relationship that I want with my son. And I did something that that we teach our moms called SIP, stay in the present. And I just took a couple of deep breaths until I was able to get back into a place where I was really in control of what came out of my mouth.
I like that. Stay in the present. Sip. I like mm-hmm. it. That's easy to remember. So, yes. Yeah. And you said we. Talk a little bit about what you're doing with Melanie, because I know that you've got Enlightened Children.
Yeah. Raising Enlightened Children is the company that I'm a co-director of. And Melanie and I are, helping parents to parent from their intuition and to essentially reparent themselves mm-hmm. so that they can parent their children without that, our own childhood wounds.
Love it.
Being on to the next generation.
Right. Love it. Because most of this mom guilt stuff is probably from our childhood wounds, right? Like I just told you about a couple of things that have gone on in my life, and they're not anything that I developed. It's something that I took with me from my childhood. Right. So I love that you're doing this. I love it.
One of my favorite, they're watching the show and not listening to the lecture stories is, my dad, when he would spill something, coffee, water, whatever, he would get mad and he would say, "Dang it." And he'd hit the steering wheel. It was always in the car. I think maybe he did it in the house too, but I think I remember it being in the car. And so one day I did that exact same thing. And then I did it the next day. And because I'm really coordinated, I did it 3 days in a row. And by the third day, Xander is like 4 or 5 years old at the time. And he goes, "Mom, why do you get mad when you spill when you spill something?" And I like thought about it and I was like, "I don't know, because that's what my dad did."
Yeah.
And now I can actually spill, like, because I became conscious of it, and it wasn't really a wound, but it was something that was very unconscious. Now when I spill something on myself, because I'm still uncoordinated, I remember the first time that it happened where I went, and Xander was like, "What?" And I was like, "I spilled something." And I was like, I didn't get mad. That's odd. Like it was, I celebrated that because it's like, I don't want to just get mad because yeah. It's a default programming.
Right. And it's progress, not perfection. As you start taking on these new ways of being when stuff like that crops up from the past. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's talk about the I in guilt.
So the I stands for integrity. Mm-hmm. And we want to have integrity with our boundaries. So a lot of people have an idea of what boundaries are. And it wasn't until I became a coach that I learned what clear boundaries are, because a lot of people will say, I came from, direct sales world. So I do a lot of phone calls. And so this is the example that I gave is that, "Hey, I'm going to be doing phone calls. Don't bother me." And they think that that's setting a boundary, when what we really want to do is set a very clear boundary that has that has boundaries around the boundary. So, so I'm going to be making phone calls from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Please do not knock on the door unless it's an emergency. And an emergency has always been defined as blood or broken bones. Now, I just found out like 3 days ago that my son thinks that that means a paper cut because there's blood.
Mm-hmm.
So know thy child, if they're literal, you might need to be a little more clear. And another thing that I've learned semi-recently is that if a lot of times our children are a lot younger than, 11, where they don't understand, or even though you've told them from 7 to 8, they might not really grasp that, or they might want attention. And my son and I, we talk about our love bucket and how it is my love bucket full. And even this morning he said, "Mom, I need a hug. My love bucket isn't full."
Oh, I love that statement.
It was like the first time he said that, I was so proud of him. And then, you know, this morning, he's not a morning person, and I've been up since 5 a.m. So, you know, I woke him up, and I was leaving for a couple of days. And so I said, okay, you want a hug? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, I'm going to dog pile on you, because he loves the dog pile. So I climbed on top of him, and I just like laid on him. And then the dogs jumped up on his bed, and the smile on his face is the biggest smile. And if you can give your children that kind of attention, and then set age appropriate times of, you're going to be busy for this amount of time when they're really little, 15 minutes is age appropriate. As they get older, you can extend that time. But if you give them the attention that they want before you start doing your thing, and then you say, okay, and then after, what kind of activity do you want to do with mom when I'm done? Oh, you want to jump on the trampoline? Okay, we'll do that. And then set the timer. When the timer is up, go do the jumping on the trampoline.
Yeah.
And you will see a tremendous difference in your children.
Yeah. That's great. That's great advice. If my son was young and he was still in the house, and like what you're doing with Xander, I would take that advice to heart and I would use it. Yeah. Because how many times do kids, especially when it's work related, how many kind of times do kids get pushed aside because you've got to make one more sales call, you haven't met your quota, or blah, 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 whatever. There's always an excuse to not allow them the space that they deserve, you know? So speaking of, I mean, yeah. Mine's calling me right now.
Well, because you're worky. They have radar.
radar, absolutely.
That was probably one of my first moments of mom guilt. I know that when my son was like 3 weeks old, I posted on Facebook that mom guilt was real. And at that point, I was like, I made the joke that they hand you a baby and a big sack of mom guilt. Like, it feels like that. But I remember when he was about 6 months old, maybe a little bit less, I was very against the cry it out method. And so I would, you know, put him to bed and he would fall asleep, and I don't even remember, it's been 11 years, but I do remember the one time that I had a deadline and I put him to bed and he started crying, and I let him cry until I was done with what I did, what I needed to do. And then I went and checked on him, and he was asleep. And I just felt so guilty because, you know, there's some inconclusive studies on how damaging it is, but, you know, it never felt right to me. And I think that's kind of the point of intuitive parenting, is what feels right to you. And having access to your intuition is easier when you don't have your own trauma that you're still
dealing with.
Yeah.
Which leads to integrity with our choices, right?
It does. And you already mentioned this, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, I did.
So what did I talk about in that part? I'm literally drawing a blank, but I think that was when, you know, I thought that it would be easier to negotiate or to get my son to eat different foods when he was older, because I could, you know, tell him, hey, it's good for your body. And that plan backfired. Well, let me just tell you about how much it backfired. And speaking of repairing, you know, there was a time when I was like, okay, you're going to eat a Brussels sprout. And it was one Brussels sprout. It didn't seem like it was a big deal. And this kid made it such a big deal. Mm-hmm. And he brought it up when he came to LA with me this weekend, and he brought it up in front of Melanie, and Melanie was like, well, I'm so sorry your mom did that to you. Is there anything that she could do to make it up to you? And he goes, yeah, she could buy me some Turkish delight.
And what is Turkish delight?
I think it's actually a British snack or candy. It's like gelatin with powdered sugar on top.
Oh my goodness. That's so
And guess
funny.
What arrived? Guess what arrived at the house today from Amazon, or courtesy of Amazon? Some Turkish delight.
We have a bunch of questions coming in, but we're going to have to take another break. Do you believe we're 2/3 through this already? I can't believe this hour is flying by. So for those of you who are listening, thank you for the questions. Keep putting them in the chat if you are on YouTube. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Alicia Lyons and the great advice she has and the great content she has in her new book, Good Mom Rules. We'll be right back.
In order to be healthy and happy, there are 24 areas of your life to balance. With the All Things Wellness Wheel, you become self-empowered, allowing you to make healthier decisions about relationships, nutrition, sleep, exercise, stress, and even your value system. The All Things Wellness book series, written by Peggy Wilms and Dr. Marcus Vetstein, teaches you how to balance your wellness wheel in addition to sharing true stories from multiple contributing authors. Book 1, The Fourfold Formula, and Book 2, Win the Wellness War, We Are Responsible, are now available on Amazon. Reserve your spot now to become a published author in Book 3, Wellness GPS, Get Prepared for Success. Visit www.allthingswellness.com/authors for more information.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
Do you have a personal story of hope or kindness to share? The Daily Gift book series, which began with a daily gift of gratitude, now available on Amazon, continues with a daily gift of hope and a daily gift of kindness. And we're looking for people just like you to share a story. Your Daily Gift of Hope story might answer one of these questions. Is there a time when you felt hopeless and someone stepped in to change your view? Have you been an example of hope for someone else? Is hope something that you've always had? If so, how do you keep that hope alive? With hope, we have more energy and a purpose. It gets us out of bed in the morning. Daily Gift of Kindness might be your chance to talk about recognizing and spreading kindness to change the world. Practicing kindness lifts your spirit and your mood, warms your heart, and helps to navigate your way through today's challenges. Has an act of kindness from a stranger turned your day around? Have you ever paid it forward to someone or for someone? Your story matters, so visit DailyGiftBookSeries.com to find out more about how to submit your story for a daily gift of hope and a daily gift of kindness. Your stories make a difference.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back with Alicia Lyons. I just want to talk for a minute about the Daily Gift book series. Alicia, you wrote a story in Daily Gift of Gratitude. You wrote a story for Daily Gift of Hope. The Hope book is going to be released sometime around Thanksgiving. So the stories we're collecting now are going to be for a Daily Gift of Kindness. And I just got the perfect photo for a Daily Gift of Peace. So I'm really looking forward to all the stories that come in for these various titles, because each one carries a piece of somebody's heart with it. And it's just really amazing to me. So thanks.
You have a peace acronym too.
Yeah. So there you go. That will fit right in there. So, a couple of comments. We got, they appreciate the father stories. A question for guilt for always being at work. Do you have solutions for that?
Yeah. So in the book, I do talk about, you know, moms that are out at work a lot, or like have multiple jobs or have very busy jobs. I actually talked to a mom who's a surgeon this weekend that, you know, she was feeling guilty because she would come home and the kids are like wanting their attention or wanting mom's attention immediately. And she's like, I just need to take off my shoes and change my clothes and like shower and feel human again. And, you know, her mother-in-law gave her some good advice, which was just like, no matter how tired you are, just give them that 30 seconds to a minute of attention and then go. And doing that actually was working for the kids. And I think that that's, you know, good advice because it worked for the kids, but she's still feeling that. And so I never got around to my, you know, my suggestion, which is like, before you go into the house, have that moment, do that sip, stay in the present. Like, just if it takes 5 minutes or whatever, however long it takes you from home to work, use that time to decompress and really fill your cup. So listen to something positive or listen to something funny, like whatever it is that fills you up before you walk into the house. And then give your kids that love and attention and that affection, and then go, you know, change your clothes. So that wasn't the question that was asked, but
I think that's a good solution for the question of always being at work. Cause I imagine a surgeon has, a taxing schedule and emergent situations and whatnot, that would apply to, basically everything. And I know it's difficult. A lot of people are working extra jobs now because of the economy, and moms, single moms particularly, are, you know, wanting to be with their kids a lot more than they want to be at their job. But sometimes we have to do what we have to do. And I think what you just shared is a good solution for, you know, letting the kids know that you love them, but you have to get a shower or you have to whatever when you come home, and then you can go back to them and give them your better positioned attention. Let's put it that way. Right. Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing about the book, that I think is good, is that it addresses at least 15 different things that moms struggle with, and being at work is one of them. But it also helps you identify the guilt yourself and helps you identify the solution. So my reason for feeling guilty might be different than your reason for feeling guilty for working. Mm-hmm. But one thing that worked for a mom that I helped out with her guilt was that she was feeling guilty for her kids going to daycare. And the reframe for her was, someone else is caring for their needs while I'm caring for different needs. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we as women, we work because we have to. Yeah. And other times we work because we want to.
Yeah.
And both of those situations can produce guilt, especially if your good mom rule is that a good mom stays at home with their kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's another question. Divorce, sharing time with the kids, lots of guilt. The marriage was a mistake, not the children's fault, yet I feel guilty. How many of us can relate to that? I'm raising my hand. Yeah, I can relate to that. What do you think?
In that situation, you know, every divorce situation is different than, like, I don't think any two are identical. But, you know, especially in my situation, we were married long enough to have our son, and then we got divorced at the same age that my parents got divorced. And so there was huge guilt in that for me. But again, it's looking at the rule, you know, is what's the rule that you broke? A good mom doesn't leave the father of her children, because that's a chapter in the book. Yeah. You know, that's a rule. And if that's not it, what is the rule?
And that's another thing good that I want to say about the way that you have this book laid out too. You give the information about the guilt, and we're going to get to the T in a the L in a second, and then the T before we close today. But you also have a place in the book where you have the rules, just like what you just said, and the rules and what we think the rules are, and that we shouldn't break them. We should stay married to the guy who we're not compatible with, and then the kids should suffer for the rest of their life because we made a mistake and we have to sit in it, right? No, I don't think so. Not today. And then you give the tools after that. There are certain tools that you can use. And you have to get this book, ladies. You have to get it. And right now it's on sale on Amazon for $9.99. After tonight, tomorrow it goes up to $12.99. So, and even at $12.99, it is a bargain. So get your copy of the book. So,
And one of my friends said she's never finished a book in one sitting. And she called me crying afterwards. And she said, I've never felt so much compassion for myself than I do right now after finishing the book. And, you know, I'm honored to hear that. And like, that's what I want for every single mom, because this is a beautiful job, being a mother. And we put so much pressure on ourselves to do everything right and perfect and all of the adjectives.
Right.
Exactly. And it's hard.
It is hard. So I'm going to go to L, because L says, love yourself, ladies. Right, Alicia?
Yes. Yes.
That's the first thing.
I touched on that a little bit, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yeah.
Yeah, and forgive yourself for the mistakes that you made, and give yourself a break, and make a list of your accomplishments. This was something that I did for my 40th birthday, as I wrote down 40 things that I was proud of, or that I accomplished, or I think lessons that I learned. And I was terrified of turning 40. I mean, terrified. And after writing that list, it was because I wanted to make an impact on this planet. And my best friend passed away 2 months before her 45th birthday. And it impacted me in ways that I still don't understand. But it was like, I needed to know that I made an impact on this planet. And writing that list of the 40 things that I did, that I've learned, really touched that part of me that wasn't doing enough.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And the last letter in the acronym, T, trust. What's the first one?
Trust your intuition.
Hello.
Yeah. And I mean, I wrote this, you know, I really wrote this 2-3 years ago, and Melanie and I have come to intuitive parenting, because women are blessed with this thing called intuition. We know the right thing to do for our children. And there's parenting experts. Mm-hmm. And what makes you an expert? I don't have the answer to that question, but you are an expert in your child.
Mm-hmm.
Learn your child. And sometimes it's hindsight. Sometimes you figure it out later. My son was on the spectrum, and it was like, he was 14 or 16 months, something around there. He was obsessed with trains. And there was this toy that went on a table that my dad made. And it was an elephant that made train sounds. And so it's going, and it falls off the table. And that kid lost his ever loving mind. And I remember thinking, what is wrong with this kid? And I went in search for the answer to that question. And I found an answer to the question. He's on the spectrum. And what I recognize now is two things. Number one is that I stopped trusting myself when I got divorced. Mm-hmm. But until that point, I trusted myself. I would ask people for advice, but I would do what felt good to me. Mm-hmm. And I stopped doing that once I got divorced. And the other thing that I am aware of is that my son, who's obsessed with trains, thought that that elephant was on a track because of the pattern of the table.
Interesting.
It looked like a track. And so that train didn't stay on the track. It fell off the track, and that made him mad.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with him. He just had an unmet expectation.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly.
But sometimes it's hindsight.
Thank you for going through all of those. And I hope that this was really valuable for everyone who's listening, because I know I got a lot out of this conversation, and I've read the book a couple of times, actually. It's really, if you have anybody in your life who's suffering with mom guilt, this is a great gift. Christmas is coming up. The holiday season is here in a few weeks. As soon as we say happy Thanksgiving, actually, I see people who have their Christmas trees up now already. Like, come on. But anyhow, this is a great gift. Get one for your friends. I know I'm getting a couple for some people in my life. I have one more question, and then we're going to have to close. Question is, I hear my mother's voice when I scold my kids. How do I break this? I don't want to be my mother.
I only laugh because it's such a common thing. I don't want to be my mom. Yeah. And you know, I just, what I want to say is get some support, because, one thing that's in the book is, called A Total Truth Letter. And if you go through the six layers of emotions with the things that your mom did, starting with, mom, I'm angry with you, that, and go through each level of the emotions. There's six levels of emotions, and I never remember all six, but that's why it's written down in the book. you know, if you write your mom a total truth letter, you'll get to love and compassion for her, and you might start to understand that she was doing the best that she could do with the tools and resources that she had at the time, and that you are too.
Amen. And with that, we're going to have to close, but I want you to tell people, if they want to get in touch with you, I know that you have some programs that you offer and whatnot. So if they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to contact you?
So you can find me at alishalyons.com or raisingenlightenedchildren.com. And I'm there in both places.
That's awesome. Alicia, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you for spending time with me and my listeners today. And thank you so much for writing Good Mom Rules, Ditch Mom Guilt, and Find Your Happy. And I wish that for every woman who picks up this book today. $9.99 on Amazon.com. The link should be on YouTube. If not, go find it. Alicia Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S. And we will see you the next time on Conversations That Make a Difference. Until then, I hope that all of your conversations are making a difference in your life and the lives of the people you touch. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks, Alicia.
Thank you.
Tune in next time for Conversations That Make a Difference with host Teresa Velarde every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Thank you for listening. And thank you to our producer, Rachel, and to our station owner, Deborah Beauvais, working behind the scenes. Be sure to go to conversationsthatmakeadifference.com for your free gift. Make sure your conversations make a difference.